White House, thank you so much for putting all this information together, and I'd like for you to run through it with us, please, on the solar.
The commission asked for this, and thank you for the commission's patience, Madam Chair. So the commission asked for this back in March, and we kind of agreed that we would research this during April, and we'd come back in May to present it. So it turns out there's actually more than we initially thought. So we went back and we collated all of them. See that it goes all the way from the most recent application that we have, which is conditional use number 2640, and then we've listed everything back to conditional use number 2251 and isolated all the solar farms and arrays. You can even see that switch where we stopped calling them solar farms and we started calling them solar arrays about halfway down the table. But we were able to isolate all those applications shown in blue, which are the ones that have been withdrawn and never progressed through to a decision. So there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them that were withdrawn. And you can see that of those that are shaded green, they're the ones that have pulled a building permit and are on their way to implementation. And you can see all the others that don't have a building permit. And you can also see all the other current applications which are in various states of consideration, with some of them having been considered and gone to County Council. But you can also see we also added as well the parcel acreage. And I always note there's a difference between this. The parcel acreage is the parent parcel, i.e. the conditional use was on a parcel of X size. And then you also have the solar acreage, where we have partial information for the actual acreage of the solar panels, which in all cases is less than the overall acreage of the parcel. So we continue to gather data on that, but it's very useful, like encapsulation of like all the solar array applications we've seen. So.
What's the, I'm sorry if I missed it, what is the white?
A white is, if it's not green, then we don't have any data on its implementation.
Okay.
Which means we don't think it has a building permit.
That's a lot of solar farm array applications.
66 by my count.
Also, I'm really curious, one of the more recent ones already has their building permit, and we have all these that are pretty aged that don't have permits yet. Is there a reason that would have?
That might be that one that was up in Indian River. They had everything in place. Off of 26.
Okay. That's
that
right.
We just saw, yeah.
And that one's, you haven't even seen that one yet, so.
Oh, well that.
It just came in on March 19th.
So. Oh yeah, it doesn't have anything, okay.
Oh.
Oh, I'm looking at the Vines. I'm thinking of the Vines Creek one.
And they have a building permit issued?
How did they get a permit?
Yeah.
Well, they can't get a building permit until, so it might be that they pulled a building permit for preparatory works on the site, which that's my instinct, is that they pulled
okay.
A permit. And then when we went through and said, does it have a building permit? Yes. I don't think it has a building permit for everything. I think it's just preparatory.
Okay.
So the building permit could be for an accessory building on that same site?
Correct.
Okay.
They could be doing some preparatory work while their CU application is going through.
So what kind of work?
Preparatory work.
Preparatory, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
tomato, tomato.
Yeah, I heard tomato. That's why.
This side of the pond or that side of the pond? All right. Anybody have any questions on this information? Thank you. I know that took a lot of time to get.
Well,
it's
a couple things. One, it strikes me, and Mr. Whitehouse and I talked about it, is that, you know, given that there's 66 and they go back at this point to 20. Well, it's hard to tell. I'm just sort of looking at 2021. Some point, some of these, you know, we'll start looking at whether they sunset or not. You know, we should start doing that. I don't know how to structure these with 66 and only 7 are withdrawn, so that takes us down to 59. And of 59, 15 have building permits. Now I understand that if you're within the last year or two, you know, you may not have a building permit yet because you're still working your way through agency approvals and all that sort of stuff. But you know,
does that 15 include the one on the top that doesn't even have a approval yet?
It probably does, yes.
So there's really then just 14 that's even pulled a permit.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know how to, you know, on the one hand is a moratorium on solar arrays, you know. On the other hand, how do we keep considering these without knowing whether they're actually viable or not, you know?
Do we know how many are in operation yet of these?
There's a few that are, but.
Yeah. So there's a chicken and the egg scenario with the way the approval process works. So in order to get interconnection approval through a utility provider, you have to have all your ducks in a row in terms of land use approvals. So in essence, we're not the final stop. We're an interim step along the way, and you have to have all your ducks in a row with that before the applicant can go to the utility and even begin that interconnection process. And then you can see those ones that have been withdrawn where it became obvious during the process that they were not going to get approval for interconnection. And so that explains why some of them were withdrawn. Not all of them, but that's but we're not the final stop.
And I believe one of the applicants mentioned, you know, a utility company that will remain nameless was Dragon. Delaying decisions, yes. Yep. Allegedly. I'm sure there's some solid rationale in some cases for why that might be, but.
So back to your point, Mr. Whitehouse. Well, I guess if they have building permits, I mean, there maybe at least is an assumption that they got their interconnection to the grid. But because they have final site plan approval, doesn't necessarily mean that it'll ever get built because they still need the interconnection to the grid. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder where on the timeline does that, after passing this stage, and then we have a window of opportunity before sunset, where do we fall before they can still get the rest of it? But I mean, nobody has approached planning and zoning to say, we had this, but they held us up, have they, that you're aware of?
We have at least one solar applicant at the moment saying that we fully intend to keep the conditional use alive and they want to come back and have a six-month extension. So we have one that's coming back for it. Mm. And they can only obtain a six-month extension. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the delay is not because of them, it's because of one of the utility companies, theoretically, right?
Correct, and in your next packet, you'll see one and the reasoning for the time extension.
I wonder if there's feedback we need to give to the state legislature around some requirements for the utility companies to meet.
Yeah, that's the part that is difficult to sort out. You know,
because, it's not really our role, but
yeah, but the otherwise, all these are open ended and they're on our books. You know, and it's not fair to. I don't want to say a legitimate solar array company because, you know, these are all legitimate. That's not the right choice of words. But, you know, I would hate to have in the back of my mind, why should we approve another one when some of these we don't have any idea which where they really are. And the one we may be considering may be the most viable out
right,
of all.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So.
It makes absolute sense because that's where I am with most of this. I've expressed that before. We've seen so many come in front of us. We approve them. They may or may not get built, most likely not from what we've seen, or haven't, I should say. But we don't know what we don't know, too. So we're putting conditions on things that when they all start getting built, we might think, yeah. Oh, my gosh, what were we thinking?
That condition wasn't right. We should have done this condition. Yeah.
You know, but there may be one way to look at this. Now, it's a balancing act between, you know, clean energy, which solar array operations are, versus, you know, the county zoning code. You know, we've adopted... And I'm really just spitballing on this, so I don't want anybody to don't report this as like what the county's going to do. But, you know, I don't know that there's a reason why we couldn't create a separate sunset provision for solar arrays, you know, because we have supplemental conditions for solar arrays. In other words, you know, regular conditional use has how many, it's 3 years after the ordinance is approved, you know, that they've got to come in sooner with that. To, you know, for their building permits to move forward or provide more regular status reports on what they're doing to connect to the grid or something. So we have a better understanding what happens to these after they go through us and county council.
Well, who says who is the last step? I mean, I'm not saying, I wasn't going to say that planning and zoning was the most important, but I forgot we have Scott Collins, so we probably are the most important. But no, as far as that goes, I mean, why are we not? Why are we not the last step of that, if that's the case? You know what I mean? Is there something that says you must have all of this before you can come before
because
us
the utility company is telling them that they have to have all this
right.
before.
Contractual. We don't have any jurisdiction over that.
Yeah. And the utility companies may or may not have an interest in slowing down the process and maybe some of these projects not going online because of other investments that they may have. Yeah. So I don't. That's a state legislative problem to solve, potentially. Yeah.
But the issue is we're caught in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, setting aside the solar arrays, this is, you know, just based on the number of these, it seems like there's some speculation going on, you know? I don't know that that's the case, but it sure seems that way. But with 66 of these over the past, 5 years, some of these are taking slots that actual businesses, you know, could otherwise be using or getting held up on because we're considering all these solar arrays that may or may not get built. There's got to be a way.
There are some states where they've built compatible, you know, uses with solar that's beyond just, you know, consuming the land with solar arrays, where they have
rooftop, you know, stuff or whatever.
Yeah, it feels like we're consuming a lot of open space and farmland and cutting down trees in some cases to put solar arrays up, where, you know, there may be other shared uses that could exist.
It's like the affordable housing. Nobody's jumping on it, though.
Yeah.
So how do you get that?
And who's to say that they're, you know, the ones that are investing or building this solar array are doing it because of the reasons of green? They're
trying to make money.
Oh, 100%.
So I get what you're saying. You're saying, well, you know, we're losing the trees for this, we're losing the farmland for that. But I don't think there's too many that are like, oh, we're trying to do this because of the reason of.
Even as a consumer, I did the math and I said, oh, yeah, based on my current electric bills and where they're likely to go in the future, I'd better put solar on my roof.
Are we getting an influx on applications lately because of the government talking about a possible shutdown? Do you know, or?
So we did. I can only always speculate as to causation, but I can say that in 2020, 2021, we saw a wave of conditional uses for utility scale solar, and then that number went down, and then in the last 12 months, we're seeing another wave. So we're seeing them in waves. Yes.
Yeah, you're right, because when I look at this, Jamie, the half the sheet is 2020 to 2022.
I think the consumer incentives are expiring, right? Or they may have already expired, and the commercial may still be in place for a while. I can't recall specifically, but.
I don't know how we respond to the information that we have in front of us, though. Like, me personally, I don't care if we see another solar array for another 6 months.
Is council looking at this at all? I mean, has there been any talk about that?
So the same information has been shared to council. And we wanted to bring back to the commission because the commission specifically asked for it to be placed on an agenda. So this was the first step. So.
Well, let's do this. You all have shared some thoughts on this. Now we have actual information on it. Jamie and staff and I, we can, you know, sort of run this up the chain of command and just see. And because ultimately, if we do anything with the code, that's going to have to get approved by council anyhow, and just see if there's a desire to do that at the county council level. You know, to look at trying to see, get a better handle on viable applications as they come through, and maybe trying to get more information on the back end, about how viable these are. Because the thing is, you know, there's seven that are withdrawn. But those are the people that have just, you know, actively gone out and given the staff notice of withdrawal. We don't know how many others are just passive and are just abandoned.
Not withdrawing it. It's just going to let it.
Right. And we could get some of these off the books if we have a reporting requirement. And if they don't report within a specified time, it's voided, you know. So
it could also, like, the regulatory approvals from the utility for interconnection might mean that it makes sense to change our expectation around how long the conditional use should exist before it expires, right?
I think that's getting dangerous, though, because if we're going to let this depend on something else, then.
Well, and they could always change their timeline as well.
Right? Yeah, and I don't know how we'd find that out, because the utilities would probably not give us a time frame, and the solar array developers would probably want to make it as long as possible just to keep their options open,
sure,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
And then tracking all that would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I get where you're coming from, but yeah, at the same time, it's just
Well, it would set expectations with us somewhat clearer around. Yep, you're not going to see any of these built for the next 3 years because of the utility companies.
Yeah.
Not that I'm slamming the utility companies. I'm not.
Is that it for the solar array?
Yeah, we got some marching orders, so we'll see what we can do.
And then, Mr. Robertson, I think one more thing for discussion is.
Not so much a discussion, but just.
Facts.
Yeah. Right. So, as you all, I think, know, I know Ms. Wingate knows because she's been on the committee, we've started reviewing or interviewing consultants for our comprehensive plan, you know, and we're going to be kicking that off really this summer once we award the contract to a consultant. And so just a heads up for the commission for time management and expectations, probably starting, you know, early fall, September, October, you know, expect that we're going to have one and maybe sometimes two additional meetings a month for about a year, year and a half, you know. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Just you all haven't been through comp plans, and it's a heavy, heavy lift. So, I mean, that means additional Wednesdays. I mean, we can move it around if we have to, but it's about at least a year-long process because we got to go through all the chapters. We got to go through all the – because the comp plan – interestingly, rests with the Planning and Zoning Commission. You all are charged with drafting it with the consultant. So that means a lot of hands-on work with the consultant explaining all of the public input that's received through the public workshops that are going to happen, all the electronic media input. Then there are going to be direction from you all and independently council and staff what needs to go in it. Then we've got to draft, well, and we're not going to draft from scratch. We're going to modify the elements. Some more so than others. Plus, we got two new, brand new elements regarding education and
resiliency,
climate and resiliency that we've got to write. So those are going to be somewhat of a lift on that. So, you know, the point being, just, you know, keep that in mind on your calendars for starting in October-ish of 2026. So.
We could expect those meetings probably to go a little longer than average and have lots of public input, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, public input.
There will be.
Yeah, well, we have to have public input on every meeting just by the new FOIA requirements. But some of those take, and this is based on past practice, take more the form of a workshop, you know, where we're kind of going through the elements and, you know, just discussing them, us and the consultants along the way. So, and it really, it varies. It depends on, like, what element we're doing, you know, like, historic preservation, if that's on the agenda, you know, we've got that pretty well baked. So that's a shorter meeting than obviously future land use or, you know, climate resiliency and that sort of thing. But what I would suggest, not now, but as we get towards the back end of the summer, you all are going to need to really go through and read the current comp plan again, because that's the basis for the next one. And there's going to be, you know, you got the homework you're doing for all the public hearings. There's going to be a lot of homework in terms of drafts being pushed out, you know, and you got to come prepared for all those extra meetings that we have. So, anyhow.
Will the council be involved with the same meetings, or are they separate? Or?
Well, we haven't set that in stone, but it's likely at the beginning, for sure, there's going to be kickoff meetings with council and planning and zoning, just try to get on the same page. And then, you know, how it works, it's an exaggerated process the same as what we did on the public hearings today. Then it's you all drafting this thing with the consultant and then pushing it up with a recommendation to county council, and they have their own public hearings. But council's not the drafter of the plan. I mean, it's the Planning and Zoning Commission with the consultant, you know. So that's why we're looking to hire a real good consultant, because they're, trust me, we're not going to be the ones up here writing the plan, but they're going to be providing us with a product that we're going to have to say we like that or not based on the direction we receive and the direction we get from the public. And the consultant, whoever we hired, they're going to, because we're going to end up having workshops in all the councilmanic districts, you know, like in fire halls and things like that. And you all don't have to attend those, but I would suggest you at least come to the one that's in your district, you know. Same as with council, you know. And so there's going to be a lot of information coming in as well. And there may be council meetings along the way in the middle, just kind of check on how everything's going. So
It might be good, too, for... not just our district. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but just I thought about this the other day, like for me to make sure that I'm attending something on the western side, and
yeah,
for the western folks to attend on it, because it really is two very different, as you guys know.
Yeah.
Or stay out west.
Well, one of the areas that's, you know, aside from each element that's going to take some time to do is, I think there's uniform agreement that we're going to have to really dig more into our future land use map. There's a Senate Bill 23 that might trigger us to really have to dig into that almost parcel by parcel. Not almost, it's parcel by parcel, depending on how that goes. We may have to pivot midway through this. But regardless, that future land use plan, our future land use map, if you look at it now, there's like a coastal area that's all yellow, you know, and it says you can do all these things in yellow. One of the things that council wants to do, the staff wants to do, administration, and I think we want to do as well, is you know, separate that into different gradients of what can go where. So there's more planning involved, more guidance. You know, I don't know this is how it'll end up, but for example, instead of one big yellow blob, you know, there'll be a certain color that's immediately adjacent to major arterial roadways, you know, and higher intensity uses can go there, and then it, you know, it reduces itself, you know, and density. Yeah, right, right. So, I mean, so that's going to be a real, that's going to be a heavy lift, and that's really going to involve the commission and your local knowledge of these roads and what can be handled. But it's also going to require, you know, so you understand the layers of this, that gets into sewer capacity, that gets into sewer availability, that gets into DLDOT capacity. To some extent, it gets into DENREC and what the environmental issues are on the roads, you know, on the properties, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of play. Not to scare you to death, the flip side of that is the consultant and county staff will have GIS mapping available so that they can kind of do an initial run of that, you know, that says what can be handled where, you know. But then that's going to take the commission looking at it and say, okay, that makes sense here, it doesn't make sense there, we need to move this line here or there or whatever, you know. But that's a real, there'll be a lot of engagement with you all in that. Anyhow, that was a long public service announcement. We got a bunch of work coming up in October.
It needs to be shared, and I appreciate you updating everybody to that point, because we all do need to be prepared. And I didn't mean to say that you should only go to as many meetings as you want to in the different areas, districts, but at least make sure you're covering part of it. So.
Yep.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
Because we represent the whole entire county, not just one or the other, or where we live.
Because I will say historically what we've seen, you know, we go out into the western side of the county, the fire halls and things, and some people show up, and there's a decent turnout, you know, and we'll do a really good job, Jamie's staff and the consultant will do a really good job of advertising that. And as social media gets better and better, you know, we can get input that way without having to physically show up somewhere. But, you know, when it ends up getting drawn back into this room, you know, we tend to not hear from folks as much on the western side of the county, you know, or even the northern side of the county for that matter. You know, we tend to hear, you know, more from the eastern side of the county, and you can't lose track of all the folks on the western side.
Yeah, so, that's right. Yeah. All inclusive.
Although depending on what the folks on the eastern side of the county say, we may get the western side out here.
True.
That is a very good point.
If I can, Madam Chair, really quickly, and while Ms. Collins in the room as well, because we want to get the word out as much as we can. So the Commission is aware of Executive Order 16 from the Governor's Office in terms of the corridor, Route 9 corridor, master plan study for Route 9, and then also studying Route 113. The county has been working with officials at the state and state staff in relation to beginning that study, and we've exchanged data. But there is the first public workshop as part of that study is now scheduled, and announcements will be forthcoming. But it is already on the county calendar, and it's on the state's calendar, it's on DLDOT's calendar. There is a public workshop that is planned for 5 p.m. on May 19th, which is a Tuesday afternoon. There's also a public hearings at the county here that day, but in the afternoon we're going to the CHEERS Center in Georgetown, and the plan is to begin a public engagement exercise to present our data exchanges to the public, and to also launch the first survey as part of the corridor study, and to then start obtaining public input ahead of further workshops that will follow to share more data as it's developed.
Just the context of this, the state, Jamie, correct if I'm using the wrong terminology, approved the state strategies mapping, but as part of that process, the Office of State Planning Coordination, along with DLDOT and I think the Governor's Office, wanted to go back and look at the corridor of Route 9 between Georgetown and Lewis and Five Points, essentially, along with a portion of Route 113, right, yeah. Which was actually, that was brought up today by Mr. Hutt. He talked about the corridor study on that one application. And so that's what this initial workshop is arising out of, that kind of focusing in on the Route 9 corridor and 113.
Can you send some information on that
to us?
Sure. Yep, there's actually a page on the county's website, so I can send you the link to that. We want to get the word out now that the date and venue are fixed and the time is fixed. We want to get the word out. We really want to let folks know that this is family-friendly, like engagement workshop. These can be quite a lot of information, a lot of boards. And so we're designing activities to make it fun to bring the family and just, and you know, mom and dad can engage staff, and we're going to have some children's activities and try and make it fun.
And there's a presentation, though, that's happening, too, right?
Correct.
So it's not just an open house kind
of thing. So maybe if the media could just hype up what's happening at that so that more people will engage than attended the last session that I went to where Deldot was looking for input on things, where it was sparsely attended given the frustrations people have with traffic.
Well, hopefully, knowing that the comp plan is being revised or updated, people will have more of an interest in thinking that things may change.
But also getting them to directly interact with Deldot and provide input, also hear what Deldot's options and plans are.
Right. Well, and it's a good opportunity because so often for so many people, you know, they engage with Deldot through one of these public hearings, which is, you know, just a report from Deldot. There's going to be Deldot representatives there, you know, so it'll be actually, you know, face-to-face opportunities.
Well, and
off state planning coordination too.
Yes.
And us. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important for citizens to hear, you know, perspectives from Deldot around why sometimes they don't want to just add more pavement because it could actually promote more sprawl and make traffic even worse in some places.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right. Anything
all
else for the good of the order?
That's enough.
Yeah, right. All right. I'll close the meeting.